Oh, we're going. All right, recording live from somewhere. It is the Let's Talk Story podcast. I'm Josh Adams, joined with Matt Myers again. Last week we had the JUCO Junior College World Series preview. And this week, after a lot of baseball, I watched 7 games. Matt was probably there for all 19.
Close.
Pretty close. We have the Junior College World Series recap. What a week of baseball.
Yeah, a very long week, but very eventful. So.
Very eventful. I did enjoy the fireworks on the firework day. I got to 7 games, and they were just good baseball. I had a little bit of everything, like we said. I saw some small ball action.
Yeah.
I definitely saw some people swinging for those short porches.
Yeah.
And it really did open up my eyes to how much of an alley park Suplicio Field is. And I think it fit in perfect with the teams that were here this year. So congrats to everybody that made it.
Yeah.
And congratulations to the winners, Central Alabama Community College Trojans.
Yeah.
Little facts about them. They all have just over 2,000 people enrolled in their school from Alexander, Alabama. The school's been around since 1989. It's their first appearance in the JUCO World Series since 2001. So, way to make an impression and go ahead and take it all.
Yeah.
First time in 12 years. Alright, review of the championship game. I thought it was a pretty good game from what I saw. I wasn't completely immersed in it. I was kind of watching the Heat and the Pacers at the same time. You were there.
I was.
What did you think?
I thought it was a really good game. I thought there were some interesting calls by the umpires, but in the end, it was the four errors that cost Palm Beach State. I mean, that was just, that's rough. And they weren't hard errors. They were very much gimme plays. Like, I know a center fielder booted a slow roller. Ryan Church had 2 errors back to back, just right at the beginning of the game. So they don't really have a leg to stand on if they're complaining about the umpires, because that was, they dug their own hole with the errors.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there, the 4 errors being a huge part of that game. Sorry about it. Palm Beach State was my pick to win it in the championship game. I was pretty confident watching the first 3 innings or so.
Yeah.
It was 3-3, I think.
Yeah.
And then right after that, what is his name? Paul Young. He really just found his groove and went to work and allowed no runs after
yeah.
that 3rd inning. He just shut down Palm Beach State.
Yeah.
Paul Young got the win in that. He went 9 innings, complete game, 7 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. So he had some stuff working, I guess. Is that what you saw? Was it?
Yeah, I mean, he was working well. He shut him down after those first few innings. And it felt like Central Alabama was going to keep it going. Darius Reese was not going to be stopped. I mean, he was hitting the ball everywhere. I don't remember his exact line from that game, but tournament-wise, he was hitting .552. I mean, he had 12 runs and 16 hits, and I mean, he was just getting on, getting around. Dude's lightning quick, and I mean, he made a catch there in the bottom of the ninth that I thought was, or top of the ninth.
The ninth.
That I thought was just incredible. I was standing next to one of the photographers down there behind the dugout, and I'm like, oh, that's in the gap. Reese busts into the right center gap, goes full stretch, laying out above the grass, and just reels in. No one thought he was going to get to it, so that was, I think that catch was kind of something we'd seen all weekend, where there was great defensive plays throughout the tournament. Lots of defenders getting into gaps, lots of guys making crazy catches over by the bullpens, lots of diving, scrappy plays in the infield. I mean, it was a good defensive tournament. And it kind of, if you discount some of the errors in the championship game, there were a lot of great defensive plays as well.
So this was the rubber match, right? This is the third time these two teams met up. They started off the tournament facing each other, if I recall.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were going to go with what the radio guys kept saying about it being the rubber match for a specific team name. But no, it was his third game for them. They lost in that opening round, Palm Beach State did, and they battled all the way back and made it back through, beat Central Alabama in the second game, and then third game, it was just Central Alabama was the better team that day, so.
Right? And Central Alabama's journey there, they were rolling. They went 5-1. Yeah. And their only loss was to that Palm Beach State.
Yep.
That second round.
To be honest with you, I thought Coach East was gonna knock him out there to play in the title. I mean, that it's worth mentioning that Central Alabama had to score 4 runs in the bottom of the ninth against Coach East just to force extra innings and then make it back. And it was one of those games for them where you could kind of feel momentum building for them and feeling like they were gonna make it. And they scored 4 runs in the bottom of the ninth, and that was all they needed. I mean, they ended up getting one in the bottom of the 11th to clinch a spot in the championship. And I honestly was surprised they had enough pitching and they weren't worn out from that 11-inning game going into the championship the next night. That was crazy. 4.5 hours for that semifinal game, and then they came back the next day to play in a title.
That is one heck of a game. That's one heck of a strain to put on your bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
And timely hitting, though, from Central Alabama there.
Yeah.
I just saw some of their stats. I mean, they outscored opponents 8-0 in the ninth inning of games throughout the tournament.
Yep.
And they outscored opponents 20-9 after the seventh inning. So they're definitely, like, getting run production in those later innings, which is great.
Yeah.
And it seems that their staff isn't the best, but they're holding on there and they're getting enough offense, so.
Yeah, definitely.
It sort of isn't a surprise that they ended up in the championship game because of that. I mean, if I was looking at that, I'd be that's all right in a 6-game tournament.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. You couldn't really ask for more.
And, yeah, they got some clutch hitting from Blaine Miller and Darius Reese, as you mentioned. Reese is just wreaking havoc on everyone leading off. I mean, he was a great leadoff hitter from what I saw.
He led the field. I'm going to double check this really quick, but he led the field in intentional walks. He just got pitched around in those last few games because people are like, I'm not throwing to him. He's going to slap a single or he's going to stretch into a double. He even had a couple triples on the tournament where he just, if he puts one to the fence or puts one in like the, if he puts it past the outfielders in right center, he just, and he was on third. And he had that second gear. You thought he was fast coming around first and second, but the minute he touched second, it was like a whole other level going into third.
Those are the guys I love to see. those are wheels I will never, ever come close to having. That first gear that they have, let alone that second or third.
Yeah.
And he was an exciting player to watch. Like you said, he was pretty decent out there in the field making that catch. And, yeah, I enjoyed his ability to place the ball when he hit. He could go with pitches. He's just a good hitter. And when you're batting .556 in a 6-game tournament, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
And or .552, excuse me. Blaine Miller, his teammate, the catcher, is batting .556. And it seems like, yeah, with that lineup and their hitting, it isn't a surprise that they got so far. I didn't expect it. I don't think anybody did.
Yeah, I don't.
And
so
funny thing is, they weren't even the best hitting team in the tournament. That went to Spartanburg. Those guys could hit.
They could.
They had like a .393 team average or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Shel McCain was on my all tournament team. That was one of the obvious ones where it was. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was a unanimous pick for that. He was flying all over the field. He was getting hits. I mean, him and his teammate Elliot Caldwell were absolutely on fire, and they carried Spartanburg offensively. I mean, the whole team was hitting well, don't get me wrong, but those two were fantastic.
Oh, man. You said they scored, 4 runs against Cohey State in the bottom of the ninth?
Central Alabama did that, right? Yeah.
And that's surprising because Cohey State had the best pitching staff as
far as
Coach East was
fantastic with pitching. They actually had the pitcher of the tournament, Stephen Neymark, which was a little bit of a contentious choice looking back. A lot of people are like, well, why didn't he go to Paul Young? The ballots were due in the fifth inning. No one knew he was going to throw a complete game. Neymark had an ERA that was like 0.59, you know, had a strikeout for every inning he pitched. He was just killing it. But it was Coach East State. They had the best pitching staff top to bottom. They only committed one error the entire tournament, so
that's a good defense.
That is great defense. Great pitching. They didn't hit particularly well, but with that pitching and defense, they didn't really need to. They ended up losing their first game against Neosho because Chance Sinclair, who was on the all-tournament team for pitching, I voted him in there as well, and it was... He just had, like, a shutdown performance against Cochise, and then everyone realized that... Steve Murray, their coach, told me that they were playing with house money, was how he worded it, and they were... No one really expected him to be there. They had close to a 500 record. Sinclair got him that first game, and then the wheels kind of just fell off. But after Cochise hit that little road bump, they battled all the way back. Great defense. Decent hitting. I mean, Frank Salas hit really well. Stefan Descagne, I think that's how you say his name. It's one, the hardest name to pronounce in the tournament, regardless. But when they got all their guys rolling, I mean, they made a nice deep run, and they just couldn't hang on against Alabama when it felt like they were going to come rumbling back. So,
yeah, I was just seeing here, I have it in my notes, that Paul Young was 2-0. He had a save, 19 innings, and 16 strikeouts.
Yep.
And he had a 2.84 ERA, and with his team's ability to bat, especially in the later innings, it seems like allowing a couple runs early on didn't hurt him too much.
No, not at all.
But all right, so yeah, you were there. Let's break down this sixth inning. I think that was the key point in the championship
yeah.
game. It caught my eye because I'm a big fan of small ball.
Yep.
There's a little small ball going on. There's a controversial call. There was an error. There was a everything bad that could happen for Palm Beach State happened in that inning.
Did.
I think there's a wild pitch
yeah.
at one point that a run scored on. So, yeah, six inning, they go in. The game's tied at 3. And, yeah, it could have been a bigger inning. I think they left two men on
base. It could have. But the interesting part was for it was the bot call. I mean, that brought home a run, which is never something you like to see. But the interesting part of it was is we were trying to figure out from the press box what exactly happened because it wasn't blatantly obvious to all of us sitting up there. The kid kind of had a high set. I know you can't see it on a podcast, but he brought his hands back kind of by his head. Was working pretty quickly, but came to a complete stop. When they called the balk, it was the second base umpire. We figured maybe he like pulled his hands apart a little or kind of had a fidget in his back leg. After the game, one of my colleagues talked to the pitcher, and he said the umpire told him that he had rolled through his motion. He hadn't come to a complete stop. And questionable call, but it ended up shifting momentum for Central Alabama and got a big inning going for him. I mean, that run coming across the plate, couple hits right after that. It changed the game a little bit for him.
Yeah, and with the way Paul Young was dealing,
oh.
that's all he needed was
yeah.
that one more run of insurance.
Yep.
And, yeah, I really wish Palm Beach State could have made me look super good. Pulled that one out. They didn't do themselves any favors by a wild pitch, letting a run score. But I was watching the game while I was watching the Heat and Pacers game, and I noticed there was a sacrifice bunt in that inning.
Yeah.
Moved the runner over, and there was this... pretty much, it just took second, I guess, right? From first.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of small ball this year. We're down in home runs as a total for this tournament. It went from 26 to 24 this year. A lot of small ball was played. A lot of guys that could run. Stemley on Palm Beach State could get going. Half the guys on Spartanburg could run. They'd run on anybody. Even Central Alabama with Reese and some of these other guys that could burn, they'd get them on the base paths just with bunts, well-placed bunts, or little like flare singles. Sometimes if they put one towards the gap, they could stretch it to a double. And I think Central Alabama did that better than most of the other teams, and that was kind of one of the keys for the championship game.
Well, congratulations to Central Alabama
yeah.
Community College Trojans for winning 2013 Junior College World Series. Good run at it, Palm Beach State. You almost made me seem like a genius. So hopefully we'll see you guys again. I mean, I would not mind seeing some of these teams again in the future at maybe next year's
Junior. Yeah.
They were fun to watch. It was a fun tournament overall.
They were.
What was the best game, the best moment, in your opinion?
Central Alabama coming back on Cochise. As annoyed as I was with it being a 4.5-hour game and not getting out of there until like 1 in the morning, it was getting that four runs in the bottom of the ninth to make that comeback was just was a hell of a performance. It's really, really, you don't see ninth inning performances like that very often. And when you can feel the momentum going and then a team actually capitalizes on it, when they scored that tying run, the place was about ready to explode, and it was just a cool energy because half the stadium had left already, and everyone was super stoked about that, so it was cool.
I was there for that game. It was one of the seven I got to go see, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. I had that as my favorite game, best moment. And the funny thing is, it's not like they were down 4-0.
No.
the final score in that game was 14-13. So there was a lot of offense before that. It was a fun game to watch. I'm a huge Red Sox fan, so anytime there's that insurmountable lead or person you have to face, or any time you're climbing uphill in that last inning and you're down to your last out, last strike, I thoroughly enjoy games like that when people do pull it off. And so it was just a great experience to see. And yeah, Darius Reese, I think he went 4-for-5 and had an RBI and scored 4 times. Ben Hall, who was underrated, I think, on that Central Alabama team, he had a solid 4 RBI day.
Yeah.
And Blaine Miller, I mean, another usual suspect from that Trojan team, I guess. He went 5-for-7.
Yeah.
So those guys were hitting. And Cohey State, Stefan Desanier?
Something like that.
Kind of French, maybe? I don't know. He went 4-for-5 and had 3 RBIs. And Frank Solis went 3-for-6 and had 3 RBIs for Cohey State. Oh, and Esteban Bastidas, 4-for-6. I guess Cohey State might have 3 or 4 of the people on the best names team, possibly. We'll get into that a little bit later. But that was, just the best game I saw out of the 7 I went to. And a lot of people did head for the exit. Gotta be that traffic. North Avenue gets swamped, but there was an electricity in the air.
Yeah, and it let up a little bit in the extra innings, but you kind of knew after that game was over, after they had come back from that deficit, that Central Alabama was going to end up putting it away. Just felt like all the wind was taken from Coach East's sails, and it was just Central Alabama from there on out. And I mean, both teams got shut down, and then all it took was one run in the 11th. So that was easily my favorite moment. So,
and just to disagree with you, although I did enjoy that baseball, I'm just going to say the fireworks were my favorite moment. Just so we get some variety.
Mosaic was really cool.
Was good.
Yeah.
So you're doing features for the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel.
I was, along with game coverage and just random notes and shagging quotes and doing all that kind of fun stuff. I did do some features.
As we talked about Russell Wilson playing here, not Russell Wilson, but someone like him. What other feature stories did you uncover? Did you come across?
I was talking to John Clay Reeves, and it was an interesting story because he's the catcher for Navarro, one of the best arms at the whole tournament. He used to play at Arkansas. Went there, played. It wasn't like he wasn't playing, but he just didn't fit in. When he was in high school, he was choosing a college to go play for, and he chose incorrectly. He was jumping at the first offer he got and just kind of ran into the issue of it being he didn't fit. It wasn't his kind of style. Goes to Navarro at JUCO in Texas. Big transition going from a 10,000 to 12,000 stadium, not unlike Saplesio. They have a stadium like that in Arkansas, to playing against a couple hundred people at Navarro Community College. And he just, when he went to Navarro, he found something that he didn't really expect. He was really close with all his teammates, enjoyed the coaches, and Wodill, the coach at Navarro, is one of a kind. I enjoyed the living hell out of him. He was a great guy. But you could see he fit there. He loved all his teammates, and it was kind of a nice fit. And then choosing to go to a school after that, he was a lot more careful, and he's going to end up playing at Rice next year, Rice University in Houston. So that was a fun one. And then Connor State had, Coach Perry Keith and his son Corey. First time they were playing together, Corey had been to all the JUCO trips that he had been alive for when his dad was coaching, because his dad's been coaching there since the 80s. He had been there, he'd been up to JUCO when he was 11, and then again a couple times when he was a teenager. But when he was there when he was 11, he was signing autographs and stuff with the team and was very much just a normal part of the team. And he kind of grew up around the program, and then he goes and plays there. And is not just the coach's kid, he is one of the studs of that team. I mean, he's going to go play D1 somewhere and be very successful, but he got a chance to start off at Connor State with his dad as the coach. And it was a little heartbreaking when they finally lost, just to see Perry's reaction, knowing that was the last game he'd get to coach his son. So those were the two big features I did.
Well, those sound pretty cool. Are they available online?
Yeah, they're at gjsentinel.com. And then if you just roll through the JUCO tab, there's all kinds of fun features, game coverage, bunch of notes, all kinds of random stuff. If you ever want to know anything about JUCO, that's probably the most in-depth coverage on it, I'd imagine. So,
all right, this is the Let's Talk Story podcast. I'm Josh Adams, joined with Matt Meyer, and we are talking all things Junior College World Series. Who was your pick to win it all?
Midland, and that actually jumps into the biggest disappointment. Blair Beck still made the all-tournament team, but seeing Midland get knocked out was kind of sad for me, because they were the best hitting team there. Their pitching came up a little short when they needed it, which was a shame, but I thought they'd go a lot further, especially with a player of Blair Beck's caliber. But they couldn't manage. Blair Beck did have my favorite catch of the tournament, though, pulling a Willie Mays playing in center field. Caught it right before the warning track, just over his shoulder, so he did have some good plays while he was there, but ultimately it was kind of disappointing to see Midland get knocked out so soon. It was the first time in like 5 or 6 years that there wasn't a Texas team in the championship, so.
Hooray for that, down in Texas. Just for a friendly reminder, I did choose Palm Beach State. They got to the championship game. I'll count that as a victory, and I'll say I won that. You did win the over-under as far as how many beers I'd have, though, because they weren't serving any, so I didn't get any. I did have some good peanuts and whatnot, but it was good baseball all around. Thoroughly enjoyed that. So Midland was your biggest disappointment. My biggest disappointment was that sixth inning of the championship game. Beach State, mental errors. That's when the center fielder had that ball just rolled past him. And then a balk to score a run, a wild pitch to score a run. As much as I enjoyed seeing the small ball from Central Alabama, I was not a fan of what was going on. So from the sixth inning on, it was sad, because I actually looked at those facts I said earlier about Central Alabama outscoring opponents 8-0 in the ninth and 20-9 after seven. So I knew even if Palm Beach State did get a couple of runs, chances are those bats weren't going to stay silent and more runs were going to come across the plate.
It was interesting. Interesting, since we were talking about disappointments, but a kid really didn't disappoint, even when Palm Beach was floundering a little bit. He had the two errors early, but we'll forgive them after this number. He was 8-for-9 coming in, Ryan Church, at the plate with runners in scoring position. He led the tournament with 6 two-out RBIs. Conversely, he was something like 2-of-7 coming into the championship game with no runners on. So he was a little bit of the Tim Tebow of the tournament. He kind of just showed up when there were the big moments. But then he opened up the championship game with went to bat with runners in scoring position in his first two play appearances, hit a sack fly, and then singled a run to the plate on his second one there. So he was a big part of their offense all tournament, and he was just incredibly clutch. I mean, unbelievably clutch to watch a kid going in there, 18, 19 years old, and being able to step up in front of a crowd like that, in high-pressure situations, just being able to come up big in the big moments.
Right, and not many people were going to get a hit off of Paul Young yesterday, so going 9. So, tough luck, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you did mention in the preview show that this was probably some of the biggest stages for these kids.
Yeah.
Kids, I don't know if I should call them that. Some of these JUCO players.
They're grown men. Some of these kids, they're big.
You said it was championship game had just under, had 9,811 people.
Yeah, just under 10 grand.
Just under 10 grand. That was a good game. It was a pretty quick game, 251. Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad at all, considering some of those games, a couple of them went over 4 hours, so.
And then the total for the tournament was it 19,870?
119,870. Yeah, that was the 19-game total for the tournament. I want to say it's like the third or fourth highest draw they've had for one of these. So.
Yeah, you did mention it was 18,000 people less than 2010, the Bryce Harper year.
Yeah, where they had 137,920, and that's, I don't want to go into the math of that, but that's a lot of people showing up for day games when Bryce Harper's playing. Because right. Usually those day games are fairly sparsely populated, but I know it's Central Nevada. They drew some crowds in those day games, so.
And I wish I got to see that. That'd be yeah. a crazy thing, seeing Bryce Harper play amateur ball like that.
So those are some of the tournament stats.
Yeah.
Good turnout, I'd say.
Yeah,
I
mean, no,
all the games I went to, people, it was high energy. People just enjoying baseball, and I did really notice all the kids playing around. Not watching baseball. My parents paid $8 for their ticket, and yeah. I decided to go play Chase Master.
It was interesting. Going around, I did do another feature that I forgot to mention, where I talked to just a bunch of random fans. We went through all around the stadium. I talked to maybe a dozen to about 20 people, and every single one of them was cheering for Coach East. And I don't know if that was like a regional thing or if it was just kind of, that was the team that grew to. A lot of people enjoyed their defense. One older gentleman called them scrappy. A lot of the kids just liked them because they had family in Arizona or southwestern Colorado, and they were kind of similar area. But that it was an interesting thing to see that many fans rooting for Coach East. So.
All right. So overall in the tournament, who was your MVP, your most valuable player?
I think it is very hard to discount Mr. Darius there. He's leading off for the championship team, leading off for Central Alabama, hitting in the ballpark of 600. It was crazy to see a guy do that well at the plate. And, I mean, I have no disagreements when they pick him as the MVP, so.
I live in the moment, and I'm going to go ahead and say it's Paul Young. He's 2-0, had that save, 19 innings, 16 strikeouts, decent ERA at 2.84. I like him. He shut down the Palm Beach State Panthers in that championship game.
The rubber match for the Trojans, yeah.
And I say because of that performance, I'd give it to him. So yeah, that's my pick. I don't know anything though, and they don't give me a vote for sure. Best five names off the top of your head from players that came in and out of JUCO this past year.
Sean Smirnoff, 18 years old, can't legally drink Smirnoff, but it's a fun last name. Ethan Hunt, the radio guys were having a lot of fun with him. His mission, if he chooses to accept it, or, you know, playing the Mission Impossible theme song. Tag Deuce, it's just a very baseball name, like you said, walking in, also could be a rapper's name. It's a very baseball, classic kind of name, very unusual. I enjoyed
kind of
that.
Scrappy person you...
Yeah.
I think of him as a second baseman. What position does he play?
What's that, Tag?
Yeah.
Yeah, second baseman.
He plays second
baseman? Yeah.
Exactly, that's exactly
second baseman.
I'm
on Tyler Forkiller, and it's just one of those don't mess with me kind of names, because it's just... Forkiller. I'm like, wow, that's badass. I'm not gonna mess with that dude. So, what about you? Do you have any names that you thought were?
Yeah, let me find them real quick. And they're both from Cochise State. Anyone named Esteban? So Esteban Bastidas. You have to say it with that Spanish accent. I don't have it, but if anyone does, please say it with that and respect the name Esteban. You had a crazy name, man. You did pretty good. For Cochise State.
Yeah.
And I'll just go with his teammate, Stefan Descagne.
That sounds right. It's tough to say.
That one you have to go with French. You have Stefan Descagne. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit of the bad Spanish accent when you're saying it that time, too.
Yeah, I'm terrible with accents. And that's why I'll never get a job acting or anything like that.
Yeah.
So those are five, I think. I mean, thoroughly enjoy those names.
Yeah.
And JUCO, I say, was an overall success.
I enjoyed it.
And I did watch a lot of baseball. I was proud of myself. Got 10% off or whatever it was when I went to the house one night to grab a brewski because I couldn't enjoy one at the game. But that's all
right. No, it is what it is, right?
And it's the Let's Talk Story podcast. I'm Josh Adams. You can find us on Twitter at LTS Podcast. Check us out online, letstalkstorypodcast.webs.com. You can follow me, check me out on Twitter, JTLAdams423. Join with Matt Meyer.
At J Matt Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R.
He's got some funny tweets when he does tweet about.
Yeah.
It's real dry humor. You thoroughly enjoy it. Often sports.
Often
related.
Sports. Like to point out that LeBron gets fined about as much money as he makes in one on-court minute for flopping.
I saw that. We're going a little off topic, but I'm gonna just roll with that because I was just amazed when he got fined $5,000 for flopping. I saw Pat Ford. I said, no, not Pat Ford. He does college football. I can't think of who tweeted it. Ryan Rozelle, I think it was.
Yeah.
Said that $5,000 fine for LeBron is like fining the average person like $12.12 or something like that.
It's even less than that because, I mean, that's how much he makes in a minute on the court.
That's absurd.
That's like fining me like a quarter. That's crazy.
And what is this world coming to? But
go Pacers.
Go Pacers going to Game 7 on Monday. Stoked for that. We got off topic, but that's all right. We're pretty much done. You have anything else to say about JUCO? Did we miss anything?
Not anything crazy. I mean, it was a great tournament. Lots of great pitching, a lot of great defense. Hits were down, but it was still a lot of small ball, a lot of gaps. Just a fun tournament overall. I enjoyed it immensely. Hope to be back next year, so that'll be good.
So Let's Talk Story podcast. Join the Matt Myers. I'm Josh Adams. Until next time, live well and express yourself.
Boom. Not bad. 30.